Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my most humble obeisances, your lotus feet. All glories to your divine grace on your appearance day. Now I have reached the age of 63 and have experienced some health problems. I sometimes feel like it is time to slow down or retire a little bit. But when I feel like that, I recall your sublime example. Throughout your whole life, you were active in preaching. But your biggest adventures, your journeys outside India to establish the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, started when your body was 69 years old. And you threw yourself into these adventures, not in the hesitant, cautious manner of an elderly person, pessimistically hoping to somehow muddle through, but with full youthful enthusiasm and energy, convinced that wonderful, astonishing things could happen by Krishna's grace. Your dedication to fulfill the order of your Guru Maharaj was inexhaustible and ever fresh. You wrote in your purport to Srimad Bhagavatam 4.24.15, "This is the secret of success. After being initiated and receiving the order of the spiritual master, the disciple should unhesitatingly think about the instructions or orders of the spiritual master and should not allow himself to be disturbed by anything else." This is also the verdict of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who, while explaining a verse of Bhagavad Gita, Vyavasayatmika Budhir Ekaha Kuranandana, Bhagavad Gita 2.41, points out that the order of the spiritual master is the life substance of the disciple. The disciple should not consider whether he is going back home, back to Godhead. His first business should be to execute the order of his spiritual master. Thus, a disciple should always meditate on the order of the spiritual master, and that is perfectional meditation. Not only should he meditate upon that order, but he should find out the means by which he can perfectly worship and execute it. End quote. You, Srila Prabhupada, are the perfect example of this, and in your purport to Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28, 51, you wrote, quote, "When one becomes serious to follow the mission of the spiritual master, his resolution is tantamount to seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As explained before, this means meeting the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the instruction of the spiritual master. This is technically called Bani Seva. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur states in his Bhagavad Gita commentary on the verse Vyavasayatmika Budhir Ekaha Kuranandana that one should serve the words of the spiritual master. The disciple must stick to whatever the spiritual master orders. Simply by following on that line, one sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead." End quote. Certainly, you were always seeing Lord Krishna in this way. I pray that you will always inspire me to keep trying to execute your orders and satisfy your desires with ever new enthusiasm and energy, even as I enter old age. Please let me always have faith that Krishna can empower one to serve as an instrument for making wonderful things happen at any stage of life. Your servant, Drudha Karmadas.
Confirmed by that loud noise. Thank you very much. David Ahiti, please come forward. Hare Krishna. Balai and all those other Matajis in the kitchen, I know you can hear me. Please come. We need you soon. Hare Krishna.
My dear Srila Prabhupada, the deliverer of the fallen souls, how can I thank you for delivering all of us fallen souls? You created an empire in which we could have a chance to be enlightened. By your grace and mercy, you have given us the tools to be converted from demons to demigods. I pray to you, somehow keep me at your lotus feet, For when Maya pulls me down, you are always there to catch me. Being entrapped in this material body in which the illusion is so thick, I cannot recognize your true self. So please help me see the divine love you spread. Keep me on the path and engage me in your service. How can I pay back this debt? I pray and beg for your glance again. And only by your mercy can I receive Krishna's mercy. Help me to remove this illusion that keeps me convinced that I'm part of this material world. I beg to be your eternal servant.
Hare Krishna. For the latecomers, you have a choice. Some devotees said they didn't want to sit on the asana, so you have a mat on the floor, you have a chair, your choice. We'd like to ask Brigapati Prabhu to offer his homage to Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna. So if you ask, Puja is a day when we come together to glorify the spiritual master. And I guess saying that is another way of saying to express appreciation for our spiritual master. So in that sense, of course, that's something that shouldn't be at all difficult because we have so much to be grateful for to Srila Prabhupada. And really, in one sense, every day should be a Vyas Pooj day. Maybe today could be called Maha Vyas Pooj day, but really every day is, in that sense, a Vyas Pooj day, because every day we should be at least expressing ideally and certainly meditating on all that we have received from Srila Prabhupada, all that we have to be thankful for, so many things we have to appreciate from Srila Prabhupada. And not just, of course, spiritually, 100% everything spiritually, and even materially. I mean, I know a lot of myself included here, but perhaps not all of us are coming from very illustrious material backgrounds, giving up successful careers, et cetera, to become devotees. I know my case, that wasn't the case. It was mostly my life previous to Krishna consciousness was characterized by great frustration and confusion. So really, at least once again for myself, everything I have to this day, I have to be thankful to Srila Prabhupada for, whether it's reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita and feeling like I'm, wow, really getting absorbed in this and enjoying reading this, or good results on Sankirtan, nice association in the form of a nice wife and God brothers and, God nephews to associate with, and enjoying the views as I'm driving around. Whatever I have, whatever is positive in my life, I know I have to be thankful to Srila Prabhupada for that. And I'm going to try in this upcoming year and for the rest of my life to try to enter into this way of thinking as a regular daily function, so to speak, a regular daily exercise. Just like, count your blessings and just remember where they're coming from. They're all coming from Prabhupada. It's all coming from Prabhupada for all of us. And I remember when I was a kid, when you used to watch television, you watch your favorite show, Bonanza, whatever it was. At the end of the show, after everything, after all the show's finished, the music's done, the credits, and at the very end, they have like this little thing. This show was brought to you by General Electric or Ford Motors or whatever, and some, big company. That was the last thing, So you remember, these are the people I have to be thankful for this wonderful show I just enjoyed. So in the same way, this show, this whole experience of Krishna consciousness being giving the opportunity to participate in the Krishna consciousness movement is being brought to us by Srila Prabhupada, and we have to be thankful for him. It's all coming from Prabhupada. Without Prabhupada's mercy, without Prabhupada having been such an incredibly pure devotee, sincere disciple of his spiritual master, none of us could be here to be enjoying so many, the wide variety of different things that we're enjoying and, appreciating in our lives right now. Anyway, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Prabhupada Prabhu, thank you very much. Next we'd like to ask Mother Balai to say a few words.
nice being across from Srila Prabhupada. That's nice. Hare Krishna. To Srila Prabhupada on Sri Vyasa Puja Day, dear Srila Prabhupada, I offer my most humble, respectful obeisances at your divine lotus feet. You are Patita Pavana, the deliverer of all the fallen souls, and you bestowed unlimited mercy upon this fallen soul by finding me and bringing me to your lotus feet. Thank you for everything, Srila Prabhupada. You have given so many instructions in your books, your lectures, your letters, to teach us how to see Lord Sri Krishna everywhere. In a letter you wrote to Krishna Devi, you said, "Your husband, Sriman Subal Das, is living with me very peacefully, and he is carving Radha and Krishna from hard wood. So this life of material existence is just like hard wood, and if we can carve Krishna out of it, that is the success of our life. I hope to be able to remember your words at every moment and to serve you at every moment. I take shelter of your words in purport to Bhagavad Gita. In the beginning of Krishna consciousness, you may not fully discharge the injunctions of the Lord, but because one is not resentful of his principle and works sincerely without consideration of defeat and hopelessness, he will surely be promoted to the stage of pure Krishna consciousness. By your mercy, many new devotees are coming to Krishna consciousness. I watch them learning to dance, to chant, to worship the deities, to preach. Thank you for everything, Srila Prabhupada. You are surely our every well-wisher." I'm just going to read. How many minutes? Can I read more? Okay. These are some remembrances of Nandarani Devi Dasi, and actually talks about this temple in the La Cienega temple. She said, it was a real exciting moment when we found this temple, because nowhere in ISKCON had we ever seen such a big building or ever gotten our hands on anything as wonderful as that. The first day we got permission to enter was Bhaktisiddhanta's appearance day, so we took a great big picture of Bhaktisiddhanta from the La Cienega place, and we put it up in this empty hall. There were a few stacked chairs, that's all. So we put this big picture of Bhaktisiddhanta on a chair, and we brought garlands and flowers. In this empty room, we had kirtan, and we brought prasadam from La Cienega. We had only gotten the keys that day. It hadn't even been cleaned. But Srila Prabhupada was there. He offered arti that day to the picture of Bhaktisiddhanta. Afterwards, he stood and had all the devotees sit in front of the picture. He stood beside the picture, and he read the names of all his initiated disciples as an offering to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. And there's another one. From the Pico temple, we used to drive Prabhupada home. Sometimes after the lecture, if Dayananda was working, I was the only other one that could drive. So this is Nandarani Dasi. She's a woman. At first, Prabhupada was very reluctant to ride with me. He stood up and I came to the door, and he opened the door and he said, "What are you doing here?" I said, "I've come to get you. My husband had to go to work. I've come to take you to the temple to lecture." And he turned around to Gorsunda and he said, "Do you think I should go?" And Gorsunda, what can he say? He looked at me and said, "Can you drive very well?" I said, "Yes, I've never had an accident." And Prabhupada looked at Govindadasi and said, "What do you think?" Govindadasi said, "Well, I don't know, Prabhupada, but I know that you like to lecture, and there's no other way to get there." So he went. And he said, he was very impressed. He said, "You were doing all right." The one night we were driving home, it was about 9 o'clock, and we were going down Pico Boulevard. On Pico Boulevard, there was a great big tropical fish place. As we got close to it, Prabhupada said, "Pull over there," very sternly. So immediately I pulled over next to the curb right in front of the tropical fish place. And he looked out the window and he said, "Yes, they do have nice tropical fish." I sat there stunned. He said, "When I was a young boy, I used to keep tropical fish just like this in a big tank with water." I didn't know what to say. Then he laughed and said, "Actually, I didn't like the fish at all, but my best friend loved tropical fish and I liked my best friend." Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Mother Bala. Stay with us, please. Thank you.
This is the offering for New Dwarka that we were asked to write earlier this year. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Pacharane Navasesa Sunyavari Pasatya Desatarane. A few years ago, a disciple of Srila Prabhupada passed away. And just before he left his body, his Christian mother told him, "Think of Krishna, go to Prabhupada." That is the inspiration for the following poem. We were searching for the highest of highs, not knowing where we'd land. Think of Krishna, go to Prabhupada, a kind soul we met did demand. We heard you speak in the park one day, and Maya was literally crushed. Think of Krishna, go to Prabhupada. A voice spoke, and our attachment was hushed. Sankirtan and book distribution throughout the day and night. Think of Krishna, go to Prabhupada. Our devotion reached great heights. Devotees joined in huge numbers. Many youths really wanted a chance to think of Krishna, go to Prabhupada, and take you to your process of chant and dance. We thought you'd stay with us forever. Your personal association was so sweet. But we had to think of Krishna, go to Prabhupada. In separation, we worship your lotus feet. Carry on the legacy. Cooperate to spread Krishna consciousness in your land. Think of Krishna. Go to Prabhupada. The future is in our hand. For 10,000 years to come, your books, the law books, will be. Think of Krishna. Go to Prabhupada. This will be the key. Ante Narayana Smriti, Bhagavad Gita says it all. Think of Krishna. Go to Prabhupada. The writing's on the wall. Srila Prabhupada's servants in New Dwarka, Los Angeles, California.
Very well. Mamahini, did she just walk out the door? Okay. How about Omkar, Dasi? Thank you. Before we start, Omkar, just to remind the latecomers of two things. We have three choices of seating because not everybody wanted to sit on the asana, so there's a mat on the floor and there's a chair if you prefer. And also this year we're very, very strictly enforcing the time limit right off the bat, 5 minutes maximum. Absolute truth spoken concisely is real and true eloquence. So be eloquent and concise. Thank you.
My dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisances at your lotus feet. I offer my deepest thanks and appreciation to you, having accepted me as your disciple and giving me this golden opportunity to go back to Godhead. I have come to realize that this is such a blessing, such a gift, to come in contact with a pure devotee of the Lord, to take initiation and have this eternal relationship, to take my vows and live in such a way, knowing if I practice what you teach us, I can become purified. And yes, I have hope to not take birth again. You said, by desire, if one has desire, it is possible to go back to Godhead. I believe in your words, your books, your guidance, your benedictions, your many blessings. My dear Srila Prabhupada, you have come to America with only a few rupees, and look what has happened. So many temples, so many devotees, so many people are chanting the holy names of the Lord. Now we have children, and our children have their children, and they are chanting too. ISKCON, what is ISKCON? This is your family. We, as God's sisters and God's brothers, sometimes we may fight and struggle. Sometimes we come together. However, we know what our Gurudev has taught us. We need to overcome our differences, for ISKCON is your life and soul. My dear Srila Prabhupada, How may I serve you? I oftentimes reflect upon this. Through the years, I have prayed for strength and guidance, and through the years, you have led me through many, many paths. You have never abandoned me. You have always been there for me. You are in your books. You are in my personal conviction. You are in the power of Sankirtan, and you are in the potency of deity worship. For all of this, you have taught us. Without you, we are nothing. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for teaching us how to cook for the Lord, how to clean the temple, how to preach to the public, how to bathe ourselves, how to make Brahmastra juice, gulab jamuns, and halva. Most of all, thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for the wonderful memories when you were physically present. Those memories are eternal. You are still present in another form, yet the potency is still the same. I still pray to you the same way. I still worship you the same way. I still see you the same way. You are still with me and always will be with me the same way. As I get older and more experienced, I reflect on my latter years of life. I pray more intently to you, and my prayer focus changes. I tend to meditate and engage in giving up more things in life. I have the faith and conviction that you can and will come get me when I leave my body. I have the faith that you will take me back if I ask you to. So I pray in this way because I know that is my natural propensity, not this material world, but to be in the spiritual world. I want to be free from birth and death. Gradually, I try to chant better, more seriously, as these years progress, since I know the latter years are ticking away more quickly. My dear Srila Prabhupada, you make life seem so much easier. You are teaching us daily, even now, how to be stronger devotees. I thank you for your instructions and guidance. I thank you for your books, and I thank you for the guidance you give us in our hearts daily. You are ever present. I will never feel lonely, for I have you in my life. Your humble servant, Omkar Devi Dasi.
Aribo. All right, two things before I call the next speaker. I thought it went without saying, but please turn off the cell phones. We know how Prabhupada felt about newfangled technology. Quickly, I mean, most of you remember that story from 26 Second Avenue, when the devotees convinced Prabhupada to get a telephone, and then one devotee called and said, Srila Prabhupada? And he said, yes. He said, what do you want? He said, how are you feeling? Prabhupada said, what? Just to call to find out how he was feeling, Prabhupada said, take it out. He didn't want the phone, because it's a disruption. So phones are disruptions. Please turn off all the phones. Okay, Ramachandra Prabhu.
Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nivisesha Sunyavadi Paschati Deshatarane. Srila Prabhupada, especially on your Divine Appearance Day, other days as well, but especially on this day, I try to remember what my life or my godbrothers and godsisters' lives, what this world would be had you not appeared. No one was lifting a toenail to save us. No one was coming under the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who said that it is the duty of every Vaishnav to spread Krishna consciousness to every town and village of the world. No one in our lives was coming to follow that order. So I try to think of what this world, what my life would be had you not come. Well, I certainly wouldn't have known who God was, although I wanted to. There's no way I would have known who God is. I wouldn't have known that the spiritual realm is full of timeless, infinite happiness at every moment, saturated with love that billions and billions of times more intense than any love anyone feels in this world. We would not have known that. I wouldn't have known that. I might have known that the soul reincarnates. I had read that and believed it. But I wouldn't have had any bona fide, valid process to burn up my sinful reactions, my karma that had been accumulated, which I didn't know, over billions of lifetimes. My karma from so many lives must have been greater than all the oceans combined. And for that to be dried up, burnt away, well, I can't measure my fortune or the mercy you have given for taking away our sinful reactions and teaching us how to live the rest of our lives so that we don't accrue any additional sinful reactions. By your presence in this world, pious souls awakened. I want to read this brief description of every one of my God brothers and every one of my God sisters. You wrote many years ago to Shivananda Prabhu, actually, if one true Vaishnava goes any place in the world, then the spiritual instincts of the more advanced souls he comes into contact with will be awakened. And they will automatically be attracted. Every devotee who is your disciple, every one of my God brothers and God sisters is in this category. A very advanced soul, whether they are still living in the temple now or not, changes nothing. Every one of my God brothers and God sisters is a very special soul because Krishna sent them to assist you, whether it was for a day or a month or a year, especially in the beginning days when you first came here alone, how they assisted you, making it possible for there to be centers where a dull soul like myself could come and be attracted. Your potency is so great that after you disappeared, the afterglow of your presence still awakened thousands and thousands of other new devotees who accept you as their divine Siksha Guru and spiritual master, and who came forward due to your spiritual presence to continue to assist you in this mission. You wrote to Jaipataka many years ago, quote, "You have asked if it is true that the spiritual master remains in the material universe until all of his disciples are transferred to the spiritual sky. The answer is yes. This is the rule. Therefore, every student should be very much careful not to commit any offense which will be detrimental to this promotion to the spiritual kingdom, and thereby the spiritual master has to incarnate again to deliver him." This sort of mentality will be a kind of offense to the spiritual master. Out of the 10 kinds of offenses, the number one offense is to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. I want to read one more section of a letter that Srila Prabhupada wrote many years ago to Brahmananda. "Regarding your request for your deliverance from the clutches of Maya, please rest assured of being delivered, because we have captured the strong chain of disciplic succession. This chain is coming down from the highest platform, Krishna, just like a rope comes down to the well, so that anyone who may catch the rope from any position is sure to be delivered. So our aim should be to not give up the rope." I'm speaking for myself, having temporarily left your society, and now I'm reaching desperately for that rope, and found that you were pulling that rope and bringing me right back. And I'm speaking for all of my God brothers and God sisters who may have temporarily left your direct service. "So far as I am concerned, in relationship with my disciples, who are so kindly cooperating with me in the matter of rendering service to my spiritual master, for them, I am always ready to come back from Goloka Vrindavan if they are not delivered along with me. It is my ardent prayer that I do not cause that to happen. And I pray on behalf of all my God brothers and God sisters that all of us not be the cause of that happening. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada."
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Rameshwar Prabhu. All right, just so we have a kind of an idea of coming attractions, I'm going to ask Amarendra Prabhu to speak next from the men's side, followed by Ramdas Abhiram Prabhu and Mukunda Dutt. Those will be the next three men in order. And then on the women's side, we'll have Manmohini. Where is she? Did she disappear again? No, you're next on the ladies' side. And then Koshirupa and Krota Shamani. Okay? So, Amarendra. But while Amarendra is coming up, just a quick question. I want a show of hands. This year, normally we have the Vyasasana on Prabhupada's side of the room. This year, just due to logistics, because we're getting a huge cake here, and we figured it would be a big disruption to have that cake delivered while somebody's speaking over there. So then we move the Vyasa. But who prefers it over here? I do. Show of hands. All right. So I think we'll keep it over here from now on. Okay. Hare Krishna.
You don't have to tell them.
What's that?
Somebody said project, because they think the voices are soft, but they never heard you.
That's true. Haribol. Boy, it's hard to follow somebody like Rameshwar Prabhu. I'm indebted to Rameshwar because he's the one who brought me to Los Angeles in the first place in 1982. I was what we call then an East Coaster. No. It was you brought me out just in time for the Robin George case. But I was an East Coaster all the way through and through, never west of Chicago, and I'd heard all these rumors about L.A. that, oh, you go to L.A., you're finished, you're going to fall down. They've got all these weird things in L.A., and so I came out in July of 82 with a great deal of encouragement from Rameshwara Prabhu, who gave me so much facility to serve Srila Prabhupada that I'll always be indebted to him. But I was still somewhat nervous about coming out here. And then I got out here, and I came into the temple room, and I saw Rukmini Dwarkadish, and I said, well, how bad can it really be out here with these deities? How could anybody fall into Maya when all you have to do is walk into the temple room and get the darshan of Rukmini Dwarkadish, and it's impossible to be in Maya in their presence? And then a couple weeks later, I went to my first L.A. Rath Yatra, and I said, well, maybe I'm going to like it out here after all. It was really an incredible experience, and thought I would definitely go back to the East Coast at some point. But I guess Rukmini Dwarkadish and Prabhupada, for some inexplicable reason, have kept me out here for all these years, and I guess I'm going to die out here. It looks like, but I would like to thank Rameshwara Prabhu for all the facility he gave me in coming out here and having the association of Rukmini Dwarkadish in Prabhupada's world headquarters. I'll be brief. Other than that, a couple of Janmashtami Vyasa Pooj pastimes from Srila Prabhupada. Going back to 1972 when Prabhupada came to New Vrindavan for the famous Bhagavad Dharma discourses, there was a darshan. Prabhupada had a darshan with a reporter for the New York Times in the little house where he was staying. I remember a few of us were there, and this darshan went on for hours and hours. I think it went on for 5, 6, 7 hours. With the reporter, and then after the reporter left. And Prabhupada said to the reporter, he said, and this is the New York Times, the most influential newspaper arguably on the planet. And Prabhupada said, yes, I have seen your paper. It is so thick. But at the end of the day, what do they do with it? They throw it in the garbage. And he had around that time, the 72 Macmillan Gita had just been printed, and he had it on a little coffee table in front of him, and he said, he put his hand on the Gita very lovingly, and he said, but this Gita, this they will keep forever. So it got a little glimpse into what books meant to Srila Prabhupada. Then Rameshwara, again, was talking the other day about coming to the temple every day and chanting our rounds and following Srila Prabhupada's instructions. Of course, that made me very depressed, thinking about my own personal devotional life. And then I remembered another thing that Prabhupada had come up in that darshan, where a devotee asked Prabhupada, what does it mean to love the spiritual master? What does love for the spiritual master mean? And Prabhupada said exactly what Rameshwara said the other day. He said, you have taken initiation. You have made vow. You have taken fire sacrifice. Now you keep that vow. That is love. So that kind of like made me depressed also. And somewhat scared. And all the devotees in the room were somewhat quite impressed with that answer. On his appearance day, on a lighter note, Gayatri and Mangalananda had baked a huge birthday cake for Srila Prabhupada. They worked on it for days in some primitive kitchen at New Vrindavan. It took like five brahmacharis to get it up the hill to where Prabhupada was speaking every day at a pandal on the top of some hill. I don't remember exactly where it was, but it took about five or six brahmacharis to get the cake up to the hill. So after everybody offered their homages to Srila Prabhupada and Vyasa Puja and so forth, Prabhupada took a piece of the cake. Someone gave Prabhupada a slice of the cake. So as soon as the cake touched Srila Prabhupada's lips, all of the devotees, and there were hundreds of devotees, just spontaneously and instantaneously just dove on this cake, led by the very austere and sense-controlled dozens of sannyasis that were also present at the time. And the cake was devoured literally in about 2 minutes. It was gone. About the same time that Srila Prabhupada had finished his piece of cake, and he looked around and he says, "Any more cake?" So everybody just froze, and everybody, like with the literal cat with the canary in its mouth, all these devotees had all this cake that they were stuffing into their mouths, and everybody just tried to look the other way so Prabhupada wouldn't see how lusty we are. But Prabhupada just laughed, and it was just a wonderful experience being with Srila Prabhupada on Janmashtami night, which is another story of how all those devotees got into that little temple room. I'll never understand it, but it was very, very enjoyable experience with Prabhupada on Janmashtami and on his Vyasa Puja. Thank you.
Thank you, Amaranja Prabhu. So, Manmohini, and we need to move a little quickly because we're going to stop at 11:45 for Pushpanjali, so we have to keep moving quickly. Manmohini, please come. And I have my timer here. We're going to be very strict on the time. Okay. That's fine with me. Thank you, Krota. Hari Bom.
Hare Krishna. Okay. My name is Krota Shamani. I live here in New Dwarka, and I'm still amazed after almost 40 years. I'm still here. I'm very grateful to Srila Prabhupada. I saw, the first time I saw Srila Prabhupada was in 1971 in New Vrindavan. And I think everyone who has ever seen him personally remembers that feeling that they had, that the elegance and his eloquence and the way he spoke and the way he had so much love for everyone. And even when I talk to the new devotees here, when they see Srila Prabhupada on video, they have the same feeling that the pure devotee has just so much love and compassion for everyone that comes away from Lord Krishna himself, that it changes your life. So I just want to say that I'm very grateful to Srila Prabhupada for changing my life. And one thing that I've been kind of concentrating on lately is the simplicity of his instructions. That sometimes the material world, even for all of us, gets complicated and entangled. But his instructions to us, his advice, has always been to just be simple, find the simplicity, remember Krishna. And I always read the little excerpts from this book, Srila Prabhupada on Mayapur. And there's one wonderful advice he gives us here that I turn to a lot. And he says, "Our Krishna conscious movement has therefore established two very large centers, one in Vrindavan and another in Mayapur, Navadvip. There one may bathe in the Ganges or Jamuna, chant the Hare Krishna mantra, and thus become perfect and return home back to Godhead." So to me, that's just like the ultimate advice and instruction to all of us, that, you know, we don't get so entangled in all these little things in our everyday life that may disturb our consciousness and our relationship with Krishna, and just follow Srila Prabhupada's instruction of that simplicity. Thank you.
Ramdas, Abhi Ramdas Prabhu.
Omagyanatamanandasya gananjana shlakaya chakshunam mintam nyena tasmai shvigirve namaha. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Dita Namani Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaur Mani Pracharini Namashesha Sunuri Pasuchita Jishtani. I'd like to say, I'm not watch for words, but I do have great feelings of thankfulness for Srila Prabhupada coming to this world. For me, because I was a young devotee, a new devotee, I didn't have that much association with Prabhupada. I saw him a couple of times, but it wasn't about, for me, it wasn't about being in his presence so much as a mystical experience, since the research that we all have done in our lives trying to find our way and being frustrated in this material life that brings us to that point of searching for God or calling for God and in this search and this calling God actually sends the pure devotee to us. And I think for me that was my experience, that through Prabhupada's books, I remember first time seeing one of Prabhupada's books. I was traveling on my way through LA, and there was a devotee had left a Bhagavatam on a chair in the bus station, and immediately, when I saw it, this is what I've been looking for. I don't know why. It was a mystical thing. Something about the painting, something about the book. I didn't know anything about it, but, it was a mystical thing. And ever since then, that led to the next thing, and it was all about my internal prayer to go to God. And God was showing me, step by step, and through those steps, well, now I reflect on it, all those steps were with the mercy of Prabhupada, because when Prabhupada came and through his writings, through his preaching, little by little, it just pervaded everything. And so I need to thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for coming and giving us that mercy in that mystical way through your disciples, through your books, that we can find our way back to God. And I just have a few memories of being with Prabhupada and just how down to earth he was. I mean, it was amazing. He was just like such a dear person. I remember one time seeing Prabhupada in Mayapur for the first time, and he heard about Lokanath Swami traveling in India, and that he was coming to Mayapur, and his eyes lit up like a child. He was so excited. And that was his mood. He loved to hear of just traveling village to village and sharing Krishna consciousness. So I immediately wanted to join Lokanath Swami. But another time in Mayapur, I remember he was getting a massage when I came in by Hari Sari, and his head was moving and his body was moving around, and he was talking to us, and we're showing him our sketches, and at one point he was massaging his arm, and his arm was jiggling like this, Prabhupada's arm was jiggling, and Prabhupada looked at it and he started to laugh and he said, flat tire. I thought it's just so, it's so nice, you know. So I just wanted to say thank you so much for the mercy you've given all of us, and through that mercy to all of us, all of you, all of your disciples, that I get a little bit of that mercy to serve. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Ram Dass Prabhu. That was 4 minutes and 49 seconds. Thank you so much. So just that's a reminder that we're going to keep very, very strict time this year because we have a lot of speakers. Ma Mohini's next. The limit is 5 minutes. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. I'm just so honored to be part of this. Okay, I actually wrote this little poem and read it at the Prabhupada Festival, but I was asked by many devotees to read it again. They said, it's Kali Yuga, no one will remember. Just read it again. So I'm going to read it again. Dearest Srila Prabhupada, I could try and sing a heartfelt song or write a poem to tell your story. I could write in vain forever trying to describe your glory. For who among us can ever understand exactly who you are? Beloved Guru, Savior, Master, amazing Shaktivesh Avatar. No one can compare to you and no one ever will. You came alone, leaving Vrindavan Dham, your home, your Guru's desire to fulfill. We welcomed you at airports and clung to your every word. We relished your every expression and recorded all we heard. Your humor and your purity, your charm and noble bearing, the way you cared and loved us all was overwhelmingly endearing. Each moment was so precious, every gesture and purport, the way no matter how we stumbled, you continued your support. Soft, golden brown, your features with a smile rivaling the moon, and eyes that laughed and knew it all. I think you left too soon. We watched you play mridanga as you sang out with devotion, or deftly play the kartals, your voice laden with emotion. Your lectures unveiled all the truths of us, God, and creation. We sat in awe and hardly breathed, lest we miss a revelation. We all know now for certain that the goal of life is this, to serve your mighty mission, to spread pure Krishna consciousness. As Lord Chaitanya's general, you've passed us the baton, and in spite of all our shortcomings, your movement will go on. You're in your books, you've told us, many, many times indeed. For now your books and pictures are all that we can perceive. Firm faith and trust and gratitude grow deeper each passing year, although sometimes the separation from you is intolerable to bear. Will we surely be with you again, beloved Jagat Guru? For as for me, my heart and soul completely belong to you.
Thank you, Ma Mohini. 3 minutes. Wow. Okay, if we stay on schedule, we can get 9 more speakers before the Abhishek at 11:45. Mukunda Datta, please.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Samen Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshatarane. Some of us may know that as Srila Prabhupada called his book distribution, the Brihat Mridanga, the publication of transcendental literatures, similarly his own spiritual master called his disciples his living mridangas. So I've written something here in that regard. Dear Srila Prabhupada, as the living mridanga of your spiritual master's kirtan, you exemplified perfect and spontaneous Krishna consciousness, characterized by qualities like transcendental empathy and compassion. constantly absorbed in sharing the profound nectar of Krishna consciousness. You epitomize the very mood Sri Prahlad Maharaj expressed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Quote, O best of the great personalities, I'm not at all afraid of material existence, for wherever I stay, I'm fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. My concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies, and countries. I'm simply concerned with love for them. As such, you freely offered the love given by Lord Chaitanya, even to the lowest of demons. Everything in your life demonstrated this spirit. Even in your final moments on this earth, you still guided us for our benefit on behalf of Lord Krishna. Ultimately, all the Vedas sing only of your character. We too pray to remain immersed in singing your glory, Tvadvirya Gayana. The vast ocean of nectar of all your kind instructions remains for anyone to hear submissively while this rare and short opportunity lasts. Let us all dive deeply with our minds, becoming one with your words, without diversions, without motives. May we thus emulate your faith and your own spiritual master's words and purely chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We can be of any value only if our minds are wholly focused upon your pinkish lotus feet, which carry the eternal fragrance of sandalwood and roses. Kindly give us some shelter there. Srila Prabhupada, DJ.
Hare Bol, Hare Krishna. So now we're going to have Kosharupa Prabhu, followed by Hridayananda Maharaj, and then Asachi. Hare Krishna.
You want to sit here or a chair? Right.
Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my sincere and humble obeisances at your lotus feet. By your prayerful request, the holy name of Krishna has descended from the spiritual world to this planet Earth and continuously traverses the airways, imbued with its own power and your causeless mercy, delivering unlimited souls in its wake. From your solitary bhajans at the Radha Damodar Temple in Vrindavan to your first kirtans in New York and San Francisco, you brought the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to America, and then around the world. I am ever so grateful to be a witness and a participant in your World Sankirtan Party. In a short span of time, by your grace, the holy name has taken residence in the minds and hearts of millions of people. Knowingly or unknowingly, they chant the holy names of Krishna with abandon, sometimes laughing and sometimes crying, as love for God begins to awaken in their hearts. Impossible, the faithless proclaim. These people are malechas and yavanas. They have no qualification to chant the holy name. It is simply show. It cannot last. But it does last. As your World Sankirtan Party continuously gains momentum, the malechas and yavanas are swept up in the tsunami of the holy name. When the holy name awakens in their hearts, their material disease is cured and they return to their natural condition of spiritual health. On your order, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra continuously resounds in temples and churches, in cities and towns, at beaches and parks, in concert halls and stadiums, in schools and colleges, at yoga studios and festivals. Desiring to please you, your disciples and grand disciples humbly assist your World Sankirtan Party grow and expand. You told us history would note how the world was changed by the Hare Krishna movement. In your presence, we knew this to be true. Then for some years after your physical departure, as the world's degradation reached new lows and our society appeared to be unraveling, we doubted we would see such a transformation in our lifetime. Now we no longer doubt, Srila Prabhupada. We no longer wonder whether we actively serve the Sankirtan movement, or watching on the sidelines, we are all witnessing your mercy as people everywhere easily take up the chanting of the Maha Mantra. Kirtan is no longer ours alone. You too, Srila Prabhupada, are no longer ours alone. Joyfully we watch as tens of thousands of people come to seek your shelter. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for cracking open the impenetrable covering of Maya and alluring us to the ever-blissful service of your Lords, Shri Shri Gornitai and Shri Shri Radha Sham. Thank you for engaging us in bringing kirtan and your teachings to others. Let our gratitude to you forever increase. Please empower us to serve you and the Holy Name with our bodies, mind, and intelligence. Please soften our hearts so that we may love you purely and serve you without material motivation. Your aspiring servant, Koshrupa Devi Dasi.
Here. Wow. I'm really impressed by how the devotees are sticking to the schedule. Thank you very much. Maharaj, please read Ananda Maharaj. I know there's another Maharaj here. Sorry. Read Ananda. Goswami, please. Maharaj, you have a choice. You can sit on the Vyasasan or the chair, whichever you like. They have a Vyasasan, a chair, and a, whichever you, your choice. Okay.
Hare Krishna. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya. This is not part of my time. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vidant Swamaniti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschati Desha Tarine. Srila Prabhupada insisted that he was, well, on the truth in many ways, but also that we, his followers and disciples, had to accept him as the founder acharya of his mission. And there's a history, of course, how some people misunderstood that. But if we think of the word acharya, Prabhupada is the one who teaches by example. The word achara in Sanskrit means conduct in the sense of good conduct, proper behavior. And so literally acharya means one who is worthy to be emulated, one whose conduct is worthy to be emulated. In the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, in response to a question by Parikshit Maharaj, Shukadeva Goswami makes a crucial distinction between following and imitating. And of course, if we imitate, then we can be ruined. We will be ruined. But on the other hand, if we don't follow, we can also be ruined. So it's actually very... So I thought I would just speak briefly about ways in which we follow Prabhupada and imitate him. Or ways in which we should not imitate him. So Prabhupada is unique. Several of the speakers mentioned that. And I would like to mention two ways in which Prabhupada is unique and cannot be imitated. So just as Lord Chaitanya, we know, in his mission, revealed an internal and external aspect to his mission, which were related, of course. Internally, Lord Chaitanya came to relish the love of Radharani, her love for him. And externally, he came to save the universe. So we can observe in Prabhupada's own life a unique aspect of his life, both internally and externally. In my own spiritual life, you know, sort of trying to push forward, plowing forward, it's as I get older, or as my body gets older, and my soul, I realize more and more I'm really young as a soul, I appreciate more and more the simple fact that Prabhupada had pure love for Krishna. Because just as Prabhupada, you know, practice sadhana bhakti, to give an example to us, when we practice sadhana bhakti, he spread the Sankirtan movement. We also try to serve him in that way and follow. But Prabhupada, the purity of his love for Krishna is really unique, at least among those who came to this part of the world, who came around the world. Prabhupada was transparently free of ambition, something which, with all due respect, it's very difficult to say about some other Vaishnavas that went traveling. But Prabhupada was actually free of personal ambition. To have that much power, to teach a philosophy where the guru was seen as good as God, especially the founder acharya, to receive worship from thousands and hundreds of thousands of people, to receive all kinds of wealth, the highest possible honor, yet to be absolutely free of personal ambition, absolutely free of selfish desire, absolutely free of vanity and pride, is something unique in our lifetime to Prabhupada. So that purity, that I was just reading the book by Mukunda Goswami. It's a wonderful book about his experiences with Prabhupada. And he mentions that the first time the new Hare Krishna movement, you know, just a few people, the first time they celebrated Janmashtami, which we just celebrated Prabhupada just all day, you know, let's chant and then we'll speak. And other people, he would have his followers try to speak. And then they would chant and then he would speak. He just went on all day. On Janmashtami in New Vrindavan in 1972, we had been fasting, of course, in those days we actually fasted. And I remember it came to midnight, and it's just like, you know, there was more excitement than I guess people in Times Square on New Year's Eve, you know, for the clock, when the clock strikes midnight. But Prabhupada really sort of faked us out because he didn't stop. He was sitting on the Vyasasana, you were there, Keshav. Yeah, on Janmashtami, and we were reading the Krishna book to him, and he just kept saying, read more, read more. Just like Lord Chaitanya wanted Ramananda Roy to go on. And by the time we got to 2 o'clock in the morning, I was, I thought I was about to have a change of body experience. And I noticed that Prabhupada was getting stronger and stronger, sitting up straighter in his Vyasasana, and just becoming just more and more energetic, just by hearing about Krishna. So that's something you can't fake, just this pure love for Krishna, which only Prabhupada manifested in the way that he did. And secondly, there have been many wannabe jagat gurus, even in our lifetime, who remained wannabes. Because Prabhupada actually received the mercy of Lord Chaitanya to save the world. And, you know, like they say, when you see Prabhupada creating a spiritual movement, spreading it all around the world, don't try this at home, you could hurt yourself. So, because obviously, people will, you know, sort of have these dreamy looks on their faces and say, I looked into my guru's eyes. Even if the guru's not a Vaishnava and he zapped me or she or did this or that, or there's one guru that even liberates the universe by hugging people. So people can always... Okay, this is the last sentence, which will be an incredible run-on sentence, but... People can always debate about the internal states of different Vaishnavas or different spiritual leaders and so on. But Krishna actually empowered Prabhupada to save the world. We've seen even some of our own godbrothers try to create spiritual movements. We've seen other people not recognizing Prabhupada think they could compete with Prabhupada in the name of honoring him. And it all comes to nothing. Perhaps not nothing, it comes to something, but it's all very insignificant compared to what Prabhupada did. So we should not try to reinvent the wheel. The wheel is already there, this great spiritual movement, and so we should recognize Prabhupada being internally spiritually unique, unique in his power to serve Lord Chaitanya, and simply serve his mission. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Raj. Sachi. Sachi Mata, and then Aram Rupa Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
My dear beloved Srila Prabhupada, I am not endowed very philosophically. I'm not a poet. I can share from my heart, and I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for always looking after me, always inquiring for me, are you happy? The very first time I met you, you asked me, are you happy now? And you were so fatherly and compassionate, understanding, you have captured my heart eternally, and I am so grateful to devotees here that have continued to maintain your temple with a skeleton crew, it seems. I just don't know how. It's just so transcendental and amazing, and I want to thank them for continuing your legacy here. New Dwarka will always be my spiritual home. I met you when the temple was first on La Cienega. And you were on your way to Hawaii, and you spent 2 days in L.A. And by great fortune, I was there those 2 days on Easter weekend, 1969. And you captured me then, and you continue to capture me, and I pray I can become a worthy disciple and do something significant for you, Srila Prabhupada. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
So Ram Rupa Prabhu, and then Driti. And thank you all so much for staying on schedule. And thank you all Matajis for... This year I can actually alternate men and women because there's so many women came forward. Thank you. Please keep it going. Hare Krishna.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vinata Swami Tanami Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaurvani Pacharine Vasesha Shunivari Paskachara De Satarini. I have two quick little stories of Prabhupada's mercy, his fatherly love, one in discipline and one in pure pleasure. I happen to be lucky enough to gain close association with Shrutakirti when Shrutakirti was Prabhupada's servant. And so I used to get together with Shrutakirti a lot when he was on his off time with Srila Prabhupada. And so one evening, my wife then, Nirukula, had prepared some prasadam for me to share with Shrutakirti. And I went up into the Prabhupada's quarters, into the servants' room, and it was about 11 o'clock at night, and both me and Shrutakirti thought that Srila Prabhupada was resting at this time. So we were sitting in the little servants' room, eating up this prasadam that was nice prepared for us, and we weren't even a quarter way through the meal, and we look up, and Srila Prabhupada appeared in the doorway. And he looked down at the two of us and said, "Oh, so you were enjoying some nice prasadam without offering me any?" And you can imagine our hearts just hit the floor. And he said, "So now I have some nice service for you. I want you both to go downstairs into the kitchen and make me some kachuris, some rice, a sabji, some sweets." And we then proceeded to cook until about 2 o'clock in the morning for Srila Prabhupada. And brought the plate up to Srila Prabhupada, and he was sitting at his desk in his room. And he looked at the plate and took one little bite off of each thing and said, "Now you can have this." And also in my early days here in New Dwarka, I worked at the New Dwarka Press, which was over in the Spiritual Sky building. And I had some printing experience before I came to the movement. And Srila Prabhupada came over there just as we had gotten our And we had just gotten a brand new printing press that was printing two colors. So we had just started printing Reservoir Pleasure here in Los Angeles. And we were printing the front page, and Srila Prabhupada came over, and he saw the front page coming off sheet after sheet. And he walked up to the press, and he said, "Do you know what this is?" And, you know, you're all in bewilderment. Anytime Prabhupada asks you a question, you just don't know what to say. So I said, "That's Krishna." And he said, "Yes, that's Krishna." But he said, "This is also my heart." And at that moment, both ways there, it was just this father. We were so ignorant and so neophyte that Prabhupada handled us with these gloves that led us to here we are now. Here we are now. Just wonderful devotees all over the world, and we're still worshipping Srila Prabhupada and still remembering Srila Prabhupada as our Jagat Guru. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada.
Such wonderful experiences with a minute and 30 seconds to spare. Amazing. Driti?
Hare Krishna. My dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept these obeisances from your foolish daughter. As I stood before you today on your Vyas Puja, I was overwhelmed with the thought, my heart is empty. I am standing before my spiritual master, and I am like a stone. In the next moment, one of your dear disciples taps me on the shoulder and says, here's a garland I made for Srila Prabhupada. Would you offer it to him? This somehow opened the floodgates of my cold heart, and tears appeared from nowhere, because that same devotee offered me a jar of macadamia nuts to offer to you 35 years ago in your garden. You are here with us in our hearts, along with Krishna, providing guidance, love, and shelter. You come in the form of your books, your instructions, your disciples, to continue teaching us and engaging us in some small service. I have only gratitude for you have given me this devotional life and devotional family. Your servant.
Thank you.
Madan Mohan Prabhu.
Krishna. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharne Nirvasesha Sunyavadi Paschachade Sitane Jaitam Surito Pangur Mamamanda Matirgati Matsarva Svapatambojo Radha Madana Mohano. Of all the different mantras that I've come in contact with, I was thinking of how the obeisancy prayers have changed more about me than anything else. Through those obeisancy prayers, even the Maha Mantra without those obeisancies is a different mantra. This Prabhupada's gave us that Maha Mantra that makes it all the difference in the world or out of the world. So, and Srila Prabhupada gave us so many wonderful books. In one book, in the Nectar Devotion, it lists, by Rupa Goswami's mercy, coming through Srila Prabhupada, we know all these personalities, how Prabhupada has given us the association of all these incredible personalities, and you're known by the company you keep. So there's 64 qualities of Krishna, and there's four specific qualities that Krishna has that even Vishnu doesn't have. And that's one, of course, his flute, his extraordinary beauty, his childhood pastimes. But there is one other quality of Krishna that's listed there, is that Krishna is surrounded by devotees with extraordinary quality of love. And that aspect of Krishna is where we come to understand through Prabhupada. I call Prabhupada's charm. He can charm the soul right out of your body. So I just think about that particularly charming nature of, and what was that? Is it the time? Oh, not my time. Some other time. Okay. And of course, this association he's giving us. So, saksat hari twaina, as far as I understood, meant the qualities. So he has directly those qualities. And of course, in Srimad Bhagavatam, it mentions in Nitya Bhagavata Seva that you actually take on the qualities of whoever you serve. So, because Srila Prabhupada was always absorbed from him, ecstatic prema comes. That came through, and we all got that aspect of understanding that one specific quality of Krishna, because his flute, how much can I understand his flute, his beauty, his childhood pastimes, but we actually have experience of how Krishna is surrounded by devotees of wonderful quality of extraordinary love. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
All right, well, now we're going to really have to move quickly. Jagat Janani.
Then we're going to ask Narahari. Then, who else? Let's see. Pavani. And then Madhudvisa Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisances, all glories to your divine grace, and the unending service you render to your beloved Guru, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati. Srila Prabhupada, I am reading your Lilamrita again, and I am in such awe of all your hard work, sacrifices, setbacks, austerities, determination, dedication, and the list will never end. And this was all before you came to America alone. Your firm faith in the instructions of your spiritual master gives my heart the greatest joy and the deepest pain. I am absolutely astounded with your unwavering love and faith in Guru Krishna and his holy name. Thank you, Gurudev, from the core of my heart, for bringing us your association, which is non-different from the spiritual world. You make everything make sense in this nonsense world. You are the guiding light at the end of every tunnel, the greatest love of our lives, and the anchor that keeps us at the lotus, Lord Krishna's lotus feet. Service to you, Srila Prabhupada, is the perfection of our extremely fortunate lives. Begging to eternally serve you, your grateful servant, Jagajanani Dasi.
Narahari Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. My name is Narahari. I come from Great Britain. I currently live in Australia. Namo Shambhadaya Krishna Prasthavatale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Chinamani Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Pacharani Nivisaisu Sanyavati Paskachati Satarade. Today, something came into my mind, and of course we meditated on Srila Prabhupada, and seeing the choice of seating, it made me recall something. This was Bhaktivedanta Manor, I think it was in 1972. Bhaktivedanta Manor is the property we have in England, which was donated by George Harrison. And as always, when Prabhupada arrived somewhere, the temple smelt mostly of incense and wet paint. Wherever Prabhupada went, the paint was still wet. So Prabhupada came on this occasion. Of course, everybody had been really busy renovating, redecorating, preparing everything for the grand opening, which actually was on Janmashtami. And our GBC at the time was Shamsundar Das, and he living in England. I think he became a little Anglophile, you know, affected. And he would go to the sites of London and see Big Ben and the Tower of London and Westminster Abbey and all these impressive Gothic buildings. And he had an idea like to sort of recreate that at Bhaktivedanta Manor, thinking this would appeal to British people who came to the temple. So they built all these sort of Gothic arches, etc. And of course, I don't know if it's the case nowadays, but there was very little funds, very little money. And so the building was quite extensive. It was a manor house, after all. There were outbuildings and there were cow sheds and all the other paraphernalia go with a large property. So the devotees were very innovative. They wanted to build Prabhupada Vyasasan, of course, new Vyasasan. So they went here and there, right throughout the property, climbing on the roof, on the gables, taking out fireplaces, bits of timber off the staircase, and they got all this stuff together. And I thought, we'll make a Vyasasan from this, which was very, very good. They thought it was going to be a great idea. It'll look like the House of Lords or something. So anyway, they prepared this, and the grand opening day was ready. So Srila Prabhupada was going to conduct the tour, as he did. He always liked to look around and check everything was working. Because you probably remember that story with Prabhupada. Everyone in Vrindavan on one occasion was telling Prabhupada how first class everything was there. And Prabhupada said, okay, well, I'll have a look for myself. And he walked around Vrindavan, and he looked up, and in the fan there was a gigantic bird's nest. So he pointed at it like, what's going on? You're telling me everything is nicely done. So anyway, Prabhupada was conducting the walk around, looking at everything, checking everything was right. And then he came into the temple room where the devotees had just completed the Vyasasan. And Prabhupada looked at it. He took one look and he said, so, you're expecting Lord Shiva? So that's one small anecdote. Of course there are many. But I'll leave it and thank you for listening. Hare Krishna.
Bhavani, we have to move quickly. We're running closer and closer to the Pushpanjali. Okay. And then Madhudvisa Prabhu.
Jay, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada. I am eternally grateful that I was able to see you at least one time in this life. And the time that I saw Srila Prabhupada was in 1979 in Mayapur. I had just arrived from Seattle with my 78. Oh God. All right, 77. Right. That's okay, 1977. In Mayapur, and I had just arrived with our Sankirtan party from Seattle, and we arrived just as Prabhupada was leaving. He was actually had walked out of his quarters building, the long building, one of the buildings, and we met him outside, and then we walked with him to his car. We followed him to his car, and there were just the few women that I was with, and Pajavaleshi, and then and maybe two or three men. So when we got to the car, to just near his car, he stopped and he turned around and to our little Sankirtan party, and he spoke individually with each Brahmacharini. And he asked them, he just said something to each person, each girl. And then he turned to me, and he just looked at me, and I just burst out crying. Just all he did was just look at me, and I just started crying uncontrollably. So then he just turned around and started talking to one of the other Brahmacharini. And then he came back to me about three times. And finally, I was the last girl there, and I started crying again. I just couldn't stop crying. So he just looked at me for that time, maybe for 30 seconds. He just really gave me an opportunity to speak with him, and I wasn't able to. So then he left, and he got into his little car, one of those little black Indian cars. And he got into the back seat by himself, and he sat in the middle of the back seat, and he put his feet up in cross-legged position, and then he had his cane in front of him. So he was just, the back seat of the car was his entire seat, and then he had the cane in front of him. He was like this, with his cane. And we were peering through the window, and it was just amazing to see him, because it seemed that he was not of this world. I mean, that is what I am so grateful for, is that I was able to stand near him and also to see him, that he was just effulgent. His head, his body, he didn't seem like a normal human being. His body was so small, and his head was But so thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for that wonderful opportunity. That was
okay, Madhudvisa Prabhu, 5 minutes max, and then we can end with Girirad Swami. Hare Krishna.
Okay. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namah Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Bicharani Namaste Sanyavari Vaskatara Desatta. So we'll have a sing-along, a poem, and then I have something written. If I have time, I'll read that. But from Srila Prabhupada's nice lecture this morning by Giriraj Maharaj, we heard about the jackfruit tree. So we're going to sing a little poem which talks about the jackfruit tree. And I'll be singing a verse, and then I'll be speaking a verse, and I'll be speaking a verse and singing a verse, a couple verses like that. And I want everybody to get into the feeling it's a very simple verse. You'll be singing, under the boughs of a jackfruit tree, about 100 years ago. In a little house near Calcutta, a most unlikely place, I know. But 'twas from there that Mahaprabhu would spread his glories far and wide. A sage named Saraswati did preach there and reside. This is kind of an Irish kind of lilt I put on it. Listen and then chant. Under the boughs of a jackfruit tree, about 100 years ago. Everyone. Under the boughs of a jackfruit tree, about 100 years ago. In a little house near Calcutta town, a most unlikely place I know. In a little house near Calcutta town, a most unlikely place I know. But 'twas from there that Mahaprabhu would spread his glories far and wide. A sage named Saraswati did preach there and reside. A most unlikely place it was, in the sorry, sad world of men, where millions had been killed in wars, been killed, and been born again to suffer in the sea of pain and strife. A most unlikely time it was, but it was the dawn of real life. Once again, under the boughs of a jackfruit tree, about 100 years ago. Everyone. Under the boughs of a jackfruit tree, about 100 years ago. In a little house in Calcutta town, where the Ganges waves did flow. In a little house in Calcutta town, where the Ganges waves did flow. The day after Krishna's birthday, he came forth from his mother's womb. The factual Messiah, who could save this world from doom. He Prabhupada, Jai Srila Prabhupada. Everyone, Jai Prabhupada, Jai Srila Prabhupada. It was he who brought the Krishna Bhakti to the West, to the Western world, which was of a religion quite divest. Drink down this precious nectar of the soul and God from him. O Prabhupada, you filled our hearts with nectar to the brim. Once again. Under the boughs of a jackfruit tree, about 100 years ago. Everyone. Under the boughs of a jackfruit
Iti about 100 years ago, in a little house in Calcutta town, a most unlikely place I know. In a little house in Calcutta town, a most unlikely place I know. But 'twas from there that Mahaprabhu would spread his glories far and wide. A sage named Saraswati did reach there and reside. Now, our cup of life was empty, and our future hope looked dark and dim. Came Prabhupada to save us. Bow to him! Bow to him. Last. Under the boughs of a jackfruit tree, about 100 years ago. Everyone. Under the boughs of a jackfruit tree, about 100 years ago. Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada, Jai Srila Prabhupada. Everyone. Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada, Jai Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Hari Bol.
Srila Prabhupada ki.
Hari Bol.
Oh, Prabhupada.
Hari, Hari Bol. So we only have a few minutes until the offering is over, and then we have to do the Pushpanjali.
So, can I give you another poem?
I'm leaving it up to Giriraj Maharaj. If he would like to have those few minutes, it's his. Otherwise, if you'd like to give them to Mother Teresa, it's up to you.
Okay. This is something that I wrote today, because Srila Prabhupada wanted us to write things on Vyasa Puja Day. So I have another poem, but I'll read what I wrote first. On this auspicious day of your appearance, we honor you and thank you for your boldness in fulfilling the orders of your spiritual master, His Divine Grace, Om Vishnupad Paramhansa Paribrajakacharya Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. The order was specifically to preach the message of Lord Chaitanya in English throughout the world. You have done that and much, much more. Your books have been translated into all the major languages of the world, and you have tirelessly traveled around and around the world many times to establish temples and thus creating an audience for these teachings amongst the congregations of these different temples. You boldly moved down to the Bowery in New York City during those first years in America, where you could establish your first temple amongst the young people who lived down there with those bumps who were sprawled on the sidewalks of that Skid Row neighborhood. This was the most revolting, stench-filled, and dead-end imaginable neighborhood. But you came and planted the most fragrant, purifying bhakti bloom. And in doing so, you transformed the frustrated, confused, drug-soaked, debauchy, perverted hippies into Hare Krishna happies. Even the most outrageous, iconoclastic beat poet of the generation, Mr. Ginsberg, became a humble supplicant in your presence. With folded hands, he would always defer to you. You boldly came to San Francisco and gave us Lord Jagannath to worship, bathe, and take out on Rath Yatra procession. In this rowdy pomp, you created a worldwide cultural event that began many people's personal procession back to Godhead, back to home. You have said that devotees must be willing to take a risk for preaching Krishna consciousness. We pray to you today that you may protect us from allowing that surge of boldness to transform into feelings of superiority. And like you, remain personally spiritually strict in our own personal vows, but at the same time, extend all the kindness to others in their struggles on the path. Somewhere, as I speak, there is a jungle where the tigers are dancing with the deers in the valleys of your lotus feet. Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Vishnu Badaya Krishna Bastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tanane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Bacharani Nirvishesa Sunyavadi Paskityadi Satarani. I'd just like to say a few words to Srila Prabhupada and then sing a song that I hope enlivens you and gives pleasure to your devotees. O Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada, thank you for giving me shelter at your lotus feet. Thank you for the new birth in Krishna consciousness. You have given me life and meaning when I felt there was none. You brought with you an unimaginable joy and gave me a life that dreams are made of, except this is real. You showed us how to reach beyond the stars and live eternally in our real home. That home is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge, and every being there is experiencing in every moment ecstatic bliss and satisfaction, serving the Supreme Lord Krishna and all the devotees. Just as one is born in the material world, they are taught so many things, to eat, walk, talk, different do's and don'ts. So you taught us to eat Krishna prasadam, to walk with determination, to perform devotional service, and sometimes we don't walk, but we dance for the deities, as you always encourage us to do so, and to talk Krishna gata, kirtan, and the do's, chanting 16 rounds, following four regulated principles, and the don'ts, not following the do's. Srila Prabhupada, in your presence, all anxiety and doubts vanish. Please let me always hear your guiding words, and I humbly ask that I always remember you and never forget you, your loving daughter, Vrindavaneshwari. So I'd like to sing a short song that's in the last couple of years, been Krishnizing some songs from the 60s. So. Yeah, hopefully it won't leave any tunes in your head.
When I find myself with my mind troubled, Prabhupada comes to me, speaking transcendental knowledge to be free. And in my times of darkness, he is in my heart guiding me, saying, chant Hare Krishna and be free. Oh, chant and be free, chant and be free, guiding me with his wisdom to be free. And when the lonely and suffering people living in the world agree to chant Hare Krishna and be free, and Prabhupada, in your kindness, you have stood right in front of me, lovingly guiding me to be free. Chant and be free, chant and be free, guiding me with his wisdom to be free. You've come to save the world from darkness, shining the light of Bhagavat, shining on eternal to be free. Awake up to the sound of music, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, Prabhupada in my heart is guiding me. Oh, chant and be free, chant and be free, Prabhupada gives the answer to be free. Oh, chant and be free, chant and be free, speaking words of wisdom to be free. With Prabhupada's gift of knowledge, I am free.